Hey everybody, Brian McClanahan here. The woke madness in history education is off the rails. Well, how do we change it? McClanahanacademy.com. And because you listen to this podcast, if you use the coupon code PODCAST at checkout, you get 25% off every day, all day, 365 days a year on every class at McClanahanacademy.com. So go to McClanahanacademy.com, use coupon code PODCAST at checkout, and get a real history education at 25% off. If you like this podcast and you want it without advertisements, head over to patreon.com and become a member of the Brian McClanahan Show. For $10 a month, you get all the podcasts ad-free, including video, and you also get a special Q&A podcast. I'm only going to answer your questions, your listener-generated episodes, through those Q&A. So, head over to patreon.com. Get this podcast ad-free, no ads, not even things like this, and you really do help support the Brian McClanahan Show with really cool stuff on the back end. Get the book that Kevin Gutzman called the single best volume on original intent ever written, My Founding Fathers' Guide to the Constitution. It is the book. When people ask me what's my favorite, that's the one. Pick it up wherever books are sold online and get a real education on the Constitution. The left is finally admitting they believe the Constitution's a flawed document, and they don't want to follow it. They've been doing that for, I don't know, nearly 150 years. We'll talk about that on this episode of The Brian McClanahan Show.
It's time to think locally and act locally. Welcome to The Brian McClanahan Show.
Welcome back to The Brian McClanahan Show. Glad to be back to the program. Very glad to be here. All right, so one of the most amazing things about the modern left is their open admission that they think the Constitution doesn't work and they don't want to follow it. Now, as I said when I said at the top of this before we started this conversation, they've been doing this for over 150 years. It's just now they're saying it. They're saying the quiet part out loud. We don't need to follow the Constitution because the Constitution is a flawed document. Now, this is really amazing because people have been saying that since, well, I don't know, the Constitution was going through the ratification process. It's always been a flawed document. It's always been, in some ways, a bad document. But what I find remarkable about this is the accusations being leveled against it, of course, would sound very Calhoun-esque in some ways. I mean, John C. Calhoun said it was a flawed document that needed corrections when he wrote his Disquisition and Discourse. But you see, that's seen as heretical. So I'm going to talk about this piece. It's at the New York Times. And it's remarkable in some of the stupid things it says, but also remarkable in its open advocacy for not following the Constitution. Now, they would say that the left would say, well, yeah, we've been saying this stuff for years to try to amend it and all these other things. I'll get into that. They don't say this in the piece, but there are some things to say about that. This piece is just remarkable. It's written by a law professor at Boston University. And it follows on the heels of people like Jamelle Bouie, who I've talked about on the show at the New York Times several times, saying that we need to follow the anti-federalists. We need to go and look at this Constitution as a flawed document. Yeah, I mean, these people were saying it back then. But again, these people are all in their own echo chamber. So they're gonna quote each other. And of course, even this law professor quotes Jamelle Bouie for some reason. It doesn't just go back to the, I don't know, the people that were saying it was a flawed document in 1787 and 1788. That would be the smart thing to do. But let's get into this. This is written by a man named Aziz Rana. And again, he's a law professor at Boston University. He wrote a book entitled The Constitutional Bind, How Americans Come to Idolize a Document That Fails Them. Idolize a document that fails them. This is The Constitutional Bind. Again, I have no problem with saying that. I don't think anybody should idolize the Constitution. It's a very flawed document. The greatest flaw, as the antis pointed out, was that it centralized power. It created a national government. That's the greatest flaw. It's always been the greatest flaw. That's not what the left says is the greatest flaw of the document. They would be fine with that. In fact, that's not a flaw. That's an advantage. Executive power for the left isn't a flaw, unless it's Donald Trump in office. And that's the title of this piece. It's actually, The Constitution Won't Save Us from Trump. The Constitution can't save you from any abuse of executive power because of these numbskulls. Because of all the people on the left who made it to where that wouldn't work any longer. You see, that's what Calhoun would say. The Constitution can't save us from, I don't know, Abraham Lincoln. The Constitution can't save us from John Quincy Adams. See? The Constitution can't save us from Andrew Jackson. It can't. Calhoun's been saying that, or had said that, in the 1830s. The Constitution can't save us from, I'll take your pick, right, William Henry Harrison. Can't save us from any of those people. Zachary Taylor. I don't know. James Buchanan. Can't save us from anyone. And then move forward. It can't save us from Teddy Roosevelt, from Woodrow Wilson, from Harry Truman, from Franklin Roosevelt. I mean, this is the remarkable thing about all of these people on the left coming out of the woodwork now, saying we need to make sure we're paying attention to this Constitution because it can't save us from all these bad people. The people on the right have been saying this for years. Why? Because, well, the left has been abusing power for a long time. It's just now that the left maybe not be in power anymore. They're figuring out, oh, the Constitution can't save us from somebody who's acting like a dictator. You mean like what you've been doing for, I don't know, most of the time that you all have been in power. You see? This is the exact Calhounian position. It's a flawed document. It needs to have strength in this thing called the 10th Amendment. And then the Constitution can save you from all of this. But that's not what they're going to say. And that's where they're flawed. So the piece says, on Thursday, the Supreme Court gathered to consider whether Donald Trump, as president, enjoyed immunity from prosecution for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. Now, here's the thing about that. And I could probably do a show just on this idea of presidential immunity in this way, because they're actually looking at this in a broader perspective. What kind of immunity does the president have while they're in office for any acts they would commit? Well, of course, we know impeachment is there to try to get rid of these people. If they did commit a serious crime like murder or something like that, of course, they could be prosecuted for that after this. But this is what's going on here is not one of those kind of crimes. In fact, it may not even be a crime. The crime might have been perpetrated on the other end. And Donald Trump wasn't attempting to do anything to overturn the election. He's asking questions. This is very regime-esque. This is you know, kind of third world dictator stuff. More importantly, this is Stalin-esque. I think that's the thing we should think about this. The left has been in power for so long, and they think it's their birthright, that any questioning of their authority is now attempting to overturn something they see as their birthright. That wasn't the case in 2016 when Hillary Clinton questioned the election. I've talked about it on this show before, or when Stacey Abrams ran around calling herself the illegitimate governor of Georgia for 4 years before then she got trounced. That's not what these people say. When they question things, that's their ability to do it. But when you question them, oh, you're just trying to overturn this election. You see. And Trump was asking questions. Well, I mean, are you sure the votes are correct? Are you sure these things are happening? And of course, you could say, well, he was strong-handing, strong-arming people. He's trying to get people to turn their... The question was, are you sure? He left office. This is the greatest, you know, Trump, no pun intended, anything they say. If Trump really wanted to overturn the election, he would not have left office. But he left. In other words, by simply leaving, he conceded. That's the point. If you're trying to overturn something, you would never concede that way. So, Aziz Rana. Rana says this, even if the justices eventually rule against him, liberals should not celebrate the Constitution as our best bulwark against Mr. Trump. In fact, the document, for reasons that go beyond Mr. Trump, that long preceded him and could well extend past him, has made our democracy almost unworkable. This is so funny to me that these lefties are saying, oh, the Constitution has problems. We got to fix the Constitution. Now, in his book, he makes an argument that all these, you know, forgotten peoples have made comments against the Constitution and criticisms, and those things were manifested in policy. And that would be things like, you know, the 19th Amendment, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. These are the things they would say that have resulted in constitutional changes, these people going out and looking for ways to amend the Constitution to change the document. And they've been pushing for this stuff for years, getting rid of the poll tax, all of these things that they've done to change the Constitution. So, okay. But that's not what they do anymore. The left doesn't worry about amending the Constitution. They haven't since the early progressive period. They just do it. I mean, yeah, we had constitutional amendments during the Wilson administration. But what did we really get with the Franklin Roosevelt administration? Anything? They just did it. He just changed the fundamental nature of the government. Truman administration, Johnson, you get the elimination of the poll tax. But, I mean, really, what have we gotten? Now, of course, you can point to the left trying to push for the Equal Rights Amendment, which failed because people had gotten tired of progressive morons. But on the other hand, what have they really done since the early 20th century to really change the way we think about the government? Well, they just do it now. And the executive, the executive presidency, right, the executive government, I should say, the dominance of the executive government, that's them. They're the ones who created the mess. Point to me a left-winger that has been responsible for the expansion of executive power. Find one. Or, I'm sorry, a right-winger who's been responsible for that. Point to me a right-winger that's been responsible for the expansion of executive power. Find one in the presidency. Find one. Was Lincoln a right-winger? No. In fact, when you get to the late 19th century, the presidents who were trying to rein in executive power, the one was Grover Cleveland, a conservative. That was it. 20th century, the presidents that are often excoriated for being behind the times are people like Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge and Herbert Hoover, even though Herbert Hoover was on the left too. Those are the guys that are ridiculed by the left. And then after that, I mean, once we get beyond Hoover, there's no pushback. Every president since Franklin Roosevelt has been an executive expansionist. So, yeah, there are some people supposedly on the right in that group, but not really. I know Pat Buchanan would die on the hill of saying Richard Nixon was on the right. His policies weren't that way. So where are we? I mean, this is all because of them. This next paragraph is, I mean, I laughed out loud when I first read this. For years, whenever Mr. Trump threatened democratic principles, liberals turned to the Constitution for help. Searching the text for tools that would either end his political career or at least contain his corruption. But they didn't do this to anybody else, right? Liberals didn't turn to the Constitution. They just discovered this thing. Oh my gosh, between 2017 and 2021, liberals discovered the Constitution. They had forgotten about it for all these years. I mean, looking for clues, looking for tools, searching the text. Look, in reality, this is what they've been doing for 150 years, searching the text for anything they can use to justify their positions. Searching the text. Trying to find tools to get rid of the president. This is TDS 101. Now, again, this could have been said about any of these presidents since Abraham Lincoln. This should have been, I mean, Lincoln should have been impeached. Clearly. I mean, there's no, U.S. Grant should have been impeached. I mean, we could just go down the line. We know Andrew Johnson was impeached, but he was only impeached because, well, the left didn't like the fact that he was blocking their legislative agenda. You see, this is what Trump's problem was. Trump was a thorn in their side. He wouldn't go along with their agenda at all times. He, meaning Trump, was sued under the Constitution's Emoluments Clauses. He was impeached twice. There was a congressional vote urging Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 20th Amendment to proclaim Trump unfit for office. More recently, lawyers argued that the states could use the 14th Amendment to remove Mr. Trump from the ballot because of his role in the January 6th attack. It's an attack. I don't see them calling any of these other riots at state houses attacks. No, no, no. Those are protests. This is an attack. You can't make this stuff up. Each of these efforts has been motivated by a worthy desire to hold Mr. Trump accountable for his actions. A worthy desire. I mean, going back to these other things, Emoluments Clause. He was impeached twice. Once for a fake dossier. It was a hoax. I mean, this is what these people aren't admitting. They were, and as the evidence has started to come out in the January 6th situation, as people have started to see the tapes, people that have been arrested, thrown in jail, when the exculpatory evidence is out there, that's true. Like, I'll give you an example. The podium guy who was arrested for theft and thrown in jail, the podium never left the building. He didn't steal it. He just moved it from one part of the Capitol to another. Now, you could say that that is, we shouldn't have done that. That's sacred, right? The House of Representatives is sacred. This is their argument. But they knew the evidence was out there. The guy didn't steal it. And yet, they prosecuted him anyways. Now, who is the corrupt individual? All the stuff that's going on right now in the Trump document case, where the judge is lifting the redacted documents, and you're starting to read these things, and you're thinking, what are they trying to hide here? What are they really doing? As you go and start looking at this stuff, the case is pretty flimsy. And yet, they redacted it to make it seem spooky and scary. Oh, all this stuff we got to redact because, well, we don't want people to know what we're really doing. As the emperor has no clothes and people can see it, it becomes clear this is a naked power grab. That's all this was. Impeached for what? The first one in particular. Sued under the Constitution's Emoluments Clause. This didn't work because he didn't break that. A congressional vote urging Mike Pence, we could have that now on Joe Biden. The man's mentally incompetent. I've talked about the 14th Amendment issue on this show, but I mean all this stuff because this is a naked power grab. They don't like that they're not in power, and they don't want someone who's a threat to their power to be back in power, because what they really want is Mitt Romney. If they're going to have a Republican in office, they want a Mitt Romney. They want a person who's really not going to oppose them very much. They want, I don't know, Mike Johnson. They want somebody who's not going to throw too much in the way of their quest for power. So each of these worthy things has failed. As we head into the heat of an election season, we need to confront a simple truth. The Constitution is going to save us from Donald Trump. If anything, turning the page on the man and on the politics he has fostered will require fundamentally changing it. So, the Constitution is not going to save us from Trump, but what we have to do is fundamentally change it. And then the next line, again, I laughed out loud. It is not just that Mr. Trump would never have been president without the Electoral College. You mean the thing that's elected every president since George Washington, right? Yeah, you can make that statement about any president. Joe Biden wouldn't be president without the Electoral College. Barack Obama wouldn't have been president without the Electoral College. This is true. George W. Bush wouldn't have been president without the Electoral College. I mean, this is all true. But that's not what he's getting at. No, no, no. This is about the popular vote. If we just counted the popular vote, we wouldn't have this problem. The Electoral College is here to save us from numbskulls like Rana. Think about why those previous efforts to use the Constitution to hold Mr. Trump accountable failed. Impeachment processes collapse in the Senate because it lopsidedly grants power to rural conservative states. Ooh, that's why. Because we have a Senate that represents states. We need to abolish the Senate. I mean, these people have actually called for this. Abolish the Senate. Or, as Jamel Bowie says, change it to an advisory, a revision, a council of revision. So we have the House of Representatives, and then we have a council of revision. That's it. Now, the antis made a lot of arguments against the Senate. But the Senate is the most federal feature of the document. It shows that what we had was a federal republic, not a national government. But that's no. The Supreme Court was able not only to keep Mr. Trump on the ballot in Colorado, but also to narrow the circumstances in which disqualification could ever be used, because Republicans have been able to appoint a majority of the justices on the court, despite losing the popular vote in 7 of the past 8 presidential elections. So, again, admitting that the Supreme Court is just another political body. This is how they did it for years. They just use the federal courts to get what they want when they can't win at the ballot box. They just use the federal courts, ram it down people's throats. The culture war, all of the culture war has been done this way. They can't win any other way. But when the Republicans do it, when the conservatives do it, oh, we got a problem with that. For years, liberals were squeamish about acknowledging these facts. No, they weren't. For years, they were squeamish about it. What? For years, they were squeamish. No, they weren't. That's a stupid statement. Perhaps out of habit. While most countries view their documents as rules for governing, rules that may become outdated and can be reworked if necessary, our own politicians routinely tell a story of American exceptionalism rooted in our Constitution. That story of American exceptionalism is wrong. Right, this is the issue. And of course, he links to his book. This is the story of a man named Obama, who once said, launched America's improbable experiment in democracy. It's the Obama family, right? It's a sacred document. And now again, I don't think anybody that's conservative has ever said it's a sacred document. It's a problem. It's always been a problem. It's been a problem because there's too much malleable language in it. I mean, this goes back to Jefferson and Hamilton. The Hamiltonian has been calling it a flawed document for years. They just didn't really care about amending it. They just worked around it. We just won't follow it. And then we get Lincoln. We're just not going to do that. It's flawed. Put so many limits on my power. I'm just not going to do that. I got these powers that aren't there. You know, we'll just say we have them. This is what they do. Obama said, again, launched the Constitution launched America's improbable experiment in democracy grounded on a shared principles of equality, self-government, and personal liberty. Shared principles of equality, self-government, and personal liberty. What does that even mean? In these Trump years, as polls have shown, some Americans drifting away from these shared ideals. Liberals are clinging even more tightly to the document as a symbol under threat. Ooh. Now, let me say this about this position. This is what Calhoun said would happen in his disquisition. Clearly this happens. The party out of power, the faction out of power, is going to cling to the Constitution for defense. The faction in power is going to abuse it because it doesn't really matter. When they reverse, the opposite happens. This is why we need to have a concurrent majority, something that makes it to where the only legislation that will pass gets supermajority status. That's it. That's what we have to have. Otherwise, we have this mess that we're looking at every single year in American politics. Calhoun was right. A supermajority is the only way to stop this stuff. A year and a half ago, for instance, when Mr. Trump called for the termination of existing election rules, liberals were understandably outraged. Representative Dan Beyer of Virginia labeled him an enemy of the Constitution. Andrew Bates, a spokesman for the White House, proclaimed that attacking the sacrosanct document was anathema to the soul of our nation. The problem is that these pledges of constitutional fealty can't substitute for actually convincing the public of the importance of inclusive democracy. The problem is we don't have enough inclusive democracy, something that would, you know, include someone like Aziz Rana. Because he can't participate, you see. I mean, he's not a participatory element in any of this. Aziz Rana has no voice. Rallying around the Constitution means embracing the very text that causes these pathologies. Its rules strengthen the hand of those indifferent or even opposed to the principles of one person, one vote. After all, those rules smooth the path for a Trumpian right to gain power without winning over a majority. And they throw up numerous roadblocks to accountability, even when presidents attempt to subvert elections. That sounds like what the left has been doing for years. I mean, that happens, right? And of course, Rana wouldn't admit any of this. No. The left hasn't been doing that. We've been in favor of majorities. Not really. The shock to the constitutional system that Mr. Trump represents didn't start and won't end with him. True statement. It's the only true thing that he said in this entire thing, in reality. The best and perhaps only way to contain that the politics around him is to reform government. So it is far more representative of Americans. The goal is to keep authoritarians from ever gaining power without winning a majority and stacking powerful institutions with judges and officials widely out of step with the public. Now, what's to say someone who wins a majority? And if you go back and look at these majorities that we're talking about here in American politics, it's pretty slim. Even when you go back and look at these supermajorities that someone like Franklin Roosevelt were able to stack up in the middle of the 20th century, in the Electoral College. When you look at the percentage of the population, it was like 53 to 47. That's not a huge majority. 53%. So think about that. In a room of 100 people, that means 53 get to tell the other 47 what they have to do. We're not talking about a huge majority here. Six people are then swinging the entire election. Six. This is what Aziz Rana will be okay with. Six. Or how about elections when it's been like 49 to 51? Two people. Or better yet, when you have 100 and it's 49, 49, and one. It's like that. But it's like 49, 48, and two. Is more like it. So now the 49 wins and the 50 lose. And this is what he's complaining about, but the left has actually won those kind of elections before with the Electoral College. Oh, I don't know. Let's look at it when it's like this. We'll go back to the greatest president in American history. How about of those 100 people, it's 60 against and 44, and the 40 wins. How about that? Greatest president in American history, Abraham Lincoln, would get the 40, and the 60 were against. How about that? Would Aziz Rana be against that? There's no majority. The majority is the 60. She would just said, okay. Well, then these 60% doesn't want that 40 in there, so he can't win. That's not how it works, though, because of the Electoral College. So then he lists all the things that need to happen. We need to change the Constitution. We need new campaign finance laws and expanded voting rights. What does that mean? I ask all these lefties, what is expanded voting rights? Are you prohibited from voting because of your race? No. Are you prohibited from voting because of your sex? No. Are you prohibited from voting because you don't own property? No. Are you prohibited from voting because you don't pay taxes? No. What are we going to expand out? How are we going to expand this? It's not voting rights. They want expanded voting cheating. That's what they really want. We need to end the Senate filibuster, eliminate the Electoral College, combat gerrymandering and partisan election interference, adopt multi-member House districts, and add new states like Washington, D.C. Why would they want to do that? Well, because it gives them two senators, and they think they win the Senate all the time. What's the whole point of a state of Washington, D.C.? That's a federal city. A new state. Well, you'd have to have permission from both Virginia and Maryland to do that. You see, but of course, I've talked about this on the show before. What they would do is get permission from the one. They would just, you know, reduce the federal city. Then they wouldn't need permission anymore and these kind of things. It's just stupid. Again, a naked... Oh, and then list Puerto Rico in there. I mean, that was the call for a long time. We should have Puerto Rico as a state. Why? Because the Puerto Ricans don't want it. Because then they would have to actually start doing some things they get benefits from that they don't have responsibilities for, right? There's benefits but no responsibilities with Puerto Rico. We need to reduce the power of the Senate, perhaps even moving toward a more ceremonial council revision, as Jamel Bowie has proposed, right? You know it's bad when these little leftist dorks who are law professors are citing New York Times opinion columnists. Such reform requires pushing back against the extreme power of the Supreme Court through measures like judicial term limits and expansion of the size of the court. And an easier amendment process would give Americans the power to update their institutions and incorporate new rights in the document rather than having to rely only on what judges decide. You mean like the thing... He just admits right there. For years, the only way the left got anything done is relying on what judges decide. So he's just admitted the left hasn't really even paid attention to the Constitution. They've just been using the processes of a fake Constitution, right? A living Constitution, one that doesn't even exist to get what they want. But we need to make sure we can do this legally. So he admits it. No doubt these changes seem politically unfeasible. How about, I'll give you a better term. No doubt these changes seem stupid. But it would behoove Americans concerned about the dangers posed by Mr. Trump to take seriously such a comprehensive agenda. Let me change that too. But it would behoove Americans on the left, who are being crybabies because they can't get what they want all the time, to change these things so that they can make it to where they can win with 50% plus one. If for no other reason than because many on the right are already working on constitutional reforms of their own. They're working on constitutional... We need to think about... Because on the right, they're thinking about constitutional reforms. Groups like the Convention of States, which counts Governor Ron DeSantis, a Florida's vocal supporter, have succeeded in getting 19 of the 34 states required under Article 5 of the Constitution to agree to convene a new constitutional convention. The Convention of States... package of potential changes includes giving a simple majority of the states the ability to rescind actions by Congress, the president, or administrative agencies. That's beautiful. Of course, they're putting more teeth into the document. You see, here is the problem. Aziz Rana doesn't like it when the states, which is the building blocks of the whole thing, have a say in all the abusive things that the central government does. Empowering Republican officials to nullify any policies they oppose, regardless of whether those policies enjoy vast national support. But they really don't. That's the thing. If they enjoyed vast national support, you would have had all this stuff already. But you didn't. As David Posen of Columbia Law School has written, the right has even figured out how to turn this second convention in a way that would ensure that state officials, again disproportionately Republicans, control what gets proposed and how voting proceeds. Now, what is he just admitting when he said state officials, disproportionately Republicans? What does that mean? That means the vast majority of Americans don't agree with Aziz Rana. What do you say here? Let me go back. Vast national support? False. Where we have vast national support is on these things that are opposing this stuff. They've only been able to get what they want because of, well, what judges decide. Aziz Rana has no self-awareness. This is one of the dumbest pieces I've ever read. I mean, it's just so stupid. Dumbest pieces ever written. These efforts will persist even if Mr. Trump is no longer on the political stage. And so long as liberals refuse to confront what needs to be done to fix the Constitution, his supporters and groups like the Convention of States will control that debate. If it ain't broke, fix it till it is. That's the leftist mantra. It now falls to Americans to avoid learning the wrong lessons from this movement. Mr. Trump may lose at the ballot box or be convicted in one of the four criminal cases he faces, including the one that this started this month in Manhattan. he is held accountable, it will not be because the Constitution saved us, given all its pathologies. This piece shows you what the left thinks. It actually admits a whole lot of stuff that he doesn't really, I think, realize he's admitting in all of this. But great podcast fodder. See you next time on the Brian McClanahan Show. See you then.